You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello everyone, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James, and my guest, co-host, my family member, my nephew, Barry. Good evening, Barry, how are you doing?
Good evening, Alan, how's it going?
Not too bad, thanks for joining me in the studio tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for having me down.
Good stuff. We're going to have a good show tonight. Now, the guest on the show tonight is a chap called Vinnie Eastwood. Now, I'm sure you all know Vinnie, because Vinnie has been doing radio shows down in New Zealand for a very long time. Very controversial and obviously educating a lot of people about what's going on. And there's been a few incidents down in New Zealand. I mean, they are just going total Nazi down there. And I think I wouldn't be ashamed to say that. I mean, there's no, you know, they are going nuts down there in New Zealand. And Vinnie has experienced the wrath of the judicial system and the police force down there. So we're going to be bringing Vinnie in a few minutes. Now, it is silly o'clock, so I do appreciate Vinnie coming on live and getting up early to be on the show. So we'll bring Vinnie in a few minutes' time. But as usual, we have a few things to talk about, and we'll find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone, 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, and we're also on patreon.com/COWL, or I see everybody logging into the chat room there. Well done. We'll be talking to you later. And basically, you can, if you want to make a donation and you want to support what we do, pop over to the website there and click on the PayPal button. As you know, we also do the Pay It Forward appeal, where we make donations to charities and local community groups. I will be talking about that in a few minutes, and we'll be getting into that. So as usual, just a couple of things to talk about before we bring the guest in. And the first item on the agenda, this article was in the Irish Mirror.ie on the website. And it said, the 23 medical conditions you must declare on your driving licence in Ireland to avoid hefty fines. It's just getting worse. And you're a driver, Barry, as well, so yep. you can relate to this. Irish motorists are required to declare if they have a medical condition when applying for a driving licence, or else they could face a raft of sanctions. People with existing learner permits or full licences who have any of the 23 listed health issues must also make an application to update their documents. The National Driver License Service details six categories of applications that must include a medical report form when attempting to secure a license. People applying for a learner permit or driving license in any of the C or D categories must submit a report if they hope to operate a bus or truck. Now, what's the chances, Barry, of them bringing in, or they'll try do it? This is where I think they might be going with this COVID passport rubbish.
Yeah. Extension onto everything else.
You know, and you're saying, what has that got to do with me driving the car on my own, with me in the car with nobody else?
Yeah. You know, it seems to just be an extension, doesn't it? Everything just bleeds onto the rest.
They start off with hospitality and then they try and roll it out from there. Well, yeah. This is what they're trying to do, but I don't think they'll succeed. Hello, everybody in the chat room. Great to see you logging in there. Over to Barry. Barry has the next topic.
Yeah, this one comes out from the American Heart Association news, apparently, which is cannabis use disorder may be linked to growing number of heart attacks in younger adults.
So what they're doing now is they're obviously blaming cannabis use for the heart attacks and the damage that has been caused by the experimental drug. We won't call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine on the legal definition. It's an experimental drug.
It does not immunize.
No.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of sports people are getting told off for in the US for it as well. The same one during the week.
An awful lot of sports people are being affected by this.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are being affected by it. The ones that are getting the poke and the ones that are not. And unfortunately, the ones that are not getting the poke are getting the worse end of the deal.
So they're trying to blame cannabis now, cannabis use on it.
Pretty much. And I would love to see the full article because I guarantee on the bottom, paid for by Big Pharma.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they say there's 5,000 cases of COVID at the moment. But I'd like to know how many of them actually are vaccinated people.
Probably, well, judging from the way County Waterford is, they said it was 99.7% vaccinated adults in Waterford.
So vaccine was the county that was held up as the best county for vaccinated people.
This is the shining light of example for the rest of the country.
And then
99.7% adult vaccinations for COVID. Oh, did I mention they have the highest case rate?
Ooh, I wonder what could be causing that. It wouldn't be the vaccination by any chance, would it?
Possibly. I mean, when is it not a conspiracy theory anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When it stops being that, do they address it? No. I know, brush that under the rug.
Well,
we'll continue.
We're going to have to get new conspiracy theories because we're running out of them.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I'll just get into my week and then we'll get Vinny in there. Right. So, as you know, with the paid forward appeal on the website, what we do is when we get donations into the radio show, we allocate some of the funding to a worthy cause, a charity or group. And this month for November, we're making a donation of €400 from the paid forward appeal and the paid forward team and Circle of White Light donations. And they'll be going to a charity called the Wexford Homeless Housing Action Group for the month of November. So thanks to everyone who donates to Circular White Light Radio. A big thank you for doing that. Tony and his team are doing great work, and Tony also runs his own radio show apparently. So maybe we can, might be able to hook up with Tony at some time and do a show together. Maybe we can have a chat with him. So we're organising the cheque to be sent down, to be whizzed down to Tony for the charity, and hopefully he'll get that during the week. Okay, we're going to bring our guest on because I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about. And I'm going to pass over to Barry. Barry's going to read out his bio there.
Yeah, and this evening's show, or morning for him, I should say, is Vinny Eastwood. He's a New Zealander with more reach into the United States and the global truth movement than any other. He's comical, he's cynical, he's insightful, he's inspiring, terrifying, enlightening, incredibly modest. Vinny Eastwood is bad news toward the right people. From 2008 until today, he's created over 6,000 published videos and radio broadcasts consisting of 20,000 hours of long-form interviews with over 2,000 of the world's leading thinkers, researchers, inventors, warriors, scientists, and professionals from hundreds of different disciplines, gaining what few come to possess, and that is a grand perspective.
Fantastic, Barry. Good evening, Vinny. I should say good morning because it's silly o'clock over there. Good morning, Vinny. How are you doing?
Well, in the words of Jim Carrey, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
You know what, Vinny? It's been a long time since we did a radio show together and we chatted. It was the OAM days, and God, there's so much has happened in the world since then. So we are going to get into what happened to you in New Zealand, your arrest and everything else. We're going to talk about that. But let's do a kind of catch up. So it's been a few years since we talked to you. So are you, you're still doing your radio show, you're still putting it out there. Is there any changes over the last couple of years that things have happened that you need to update us on, and then we'll get into the subject matter?
I discovered that New Zealand's Northern Hemisphere equivalent isn't Ireland or England. It's actually more like the Cayman Islands, all right? Think about it. Former colony of the Bank of England, currently run by organized crime, Center for International Money Laundering. New Zealand got caught up in the Panama Papers 66,000 times. So that was a new discovery. Oh, I'm running an organized crime syndicate that centers on money laundering. Oh, this will be interesting to see what they do with people's rights and how they respect them or not. Then I find out that the Bill of Rights that we have here that allows you to do whatever you like, so as long as you don't hurt nobody or damage any of their stuff, can be subverted by any legislation the government decides to pass. So if they decide that planning something is illegal, they can arrest you and take you to jail, even though planning things is not a crime. So ostensibly we live in a parliamentary sovereign dictatorship where you don't have any rights, you have privileges, and rights can't be taken away because they come from God. Privileges, on the other hand, come from government, and they can be taken away at any point anyone deemed choose. Okay, and so when we had the shooting in 2019, the March 15th, in the Christchurch mosque massacre incident, we had a gun ban implemented the day of and enforced and passed through Parliament 14 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One guy who was not a New Zealand citizen, who was given money from unconfirmed sources, who stayed nine days out of a 90-day visa in Israel, who the New Zealand consulate, Australian consulate, Israeli consulate, and New Zealand police refused to answer any questions about, including the fact that he was reported to police for having anti-Muslim rants at his gun club by fellow gun club members, and the police didn't do anything. And we had a crisis ex-terrorism conference the day before or a week before the attack, who boasted to have, quote, a highly realistic simulation planned for them. They brought in the best anti-terrorism specialists and cyber warfare experts from around the world to do this big conference right before this attack happened. And then Facebook went down 48 hours worldwide. What was the first live stream anybody was looking at as soon as it came back up? This one. The guy coincidentally planned his attack the day that Facebook came back up. Isn't that interesting? And also at the day, what was even more interesting was that there were drills. The Armed Defenders Squad, the New Zealand SWAT team, was having a drill on the day concerning a mass shooting. And the Prime Minister herself, in the opening hours of the attacks, was quoted as saying, "It appears that somebody in Armed Defenders uniform went into the mosque and opened fire." There was also a NATO sniper drill on the day with foreign troops on New Zealand soil. They were given shoot-to-kill orders after this incident. Then Brenton Tarrant pleads not guilty, not to be confused with Martin Bryant, who's a guy accused of doing something exactly similar in Australia under extremely similarly suspicious circumstances. And then he flashes a Masonic 666 hand sign to the papers. All right. And then all the investigations that the government has, you know, launched to find out what happened here, they made them secret, so the public weren't allowed to see any of the findings. And then when this first lockdown happened in 2020, on the first day of it, when the media were not allowed to go to court because they were in level 4 lockdown, Brenton Tarrant pleads guilty, they close his case, and they seal the document for 30 years, put him in a solitary confinement where he's not allowed to be interviewed at the cost of $40,000 a month to the New Zealand taxpayer. Case closed, no questions asked. Everybody, the government just took all your guns, and they took the only witness who's being accused of the crime that justified it.
Okay? How big was the rug
that
they swept out on?
And then they lock everybody down right after they disarm them and don't have the ability to resist. And then they start getting violent. Then they start shutting down protests. Then they start shutting down every single form of alternative media that is not pushing the government narrative. It works like this. I worked for 13 years to gain 65,000 subscribers across 3 YouTube channels with maybe 6,000 videos upon them. Gone. Just gone. All those elders, all that knowledge, all those interviews, I'm the only one who possesseth it now. Okay? Mm. And I watched a movie. I did what's called cinemancy. You know, bibliomancy is when you just ask a question of the universe and you read a book and you interpret the answer. Cinemancy is when you ask the universe a question and you just watch a movie as the answer. And just lost all my YouTube channels, and so I watched No Country for Old Men. And in the end of it, Tommy Lee Jones's character is talking to this old guy who's lost both of his legs. And he's telling him about how when he lost his legs, he tried to get back his mobility. He tried to get back what he lost, and he nearly killed himself doing it. He says to him, "Son, sooner or later you've got to put a tourniquet on that wound and just keep living your life." And I was like, that was the interpretation of the answer for losing my life's work, is that I'm no longer really an interviewer per se anymore, because I possess so much knowledge of people who aren't here anymore that I'm the only one who can really tell their stories. Therefore, am I really the interviewer anymore? Am I the talk radio show host anymore per se? No, that's kind of more going into the background now. I think to a large degree, I think it's a lot of knowledge that I can bring to people, a lot of understanding, a lot of context that I can bring to people because of all the knowledge that's been bestowed upon me, knowledge which now very few people, if any, can find anywhere online.
Okay.
And the Great Purge.
Okay, question then. All this information, you know, we are aware of YouTube and what YouTube do. And if you go against their policies, which are ridiculous, they pull the plug, and they've been doing that for a lot of channels. They've been actually shutting them down. So where's the backup of all your data, of all your interviews? Surely you have a backup of all that somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah, sure, we've got backups and backups of the backups and backups. But the problem is, when you go to Google or DuckDuckGo or any search engine of any kind and you try to find a Vinnie Eastwood video now, you can't find anything. So you have to go directly to Odyssey and my BitChute, and all those links are on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And when you go to the Odyssey and the BitChute, then you have to search specifically in there to look for the thing. And because they're not tagged and they're not chronologically ordered and things of that nature, and because they don't have refined search engines and so on and so forth, it took me maybe 5 to 6 minutes to find one particular interview that I did with Rosa Corey that I was trying to look for to somebody. And that's me on my own platform with the back end looking for it. Okay. Whereas previously I'd be able to look on the back end on YouTube or even just on the main search engine on Google and pull up a Rosa Corey Vinnie Eastwood interview just like that. So despite the fact that the stuff is there, the likelihood that people are going to be able to find it to find it is significantly low. Now, I do have a lot of skills and a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in various forms of media production, be it talk radio hosting or social media, web platforming and all of that kind of stuff, streaming. And I have the ability, unlike most people, to make that stuff sound so simple you're wondering why the hell you would ever pay a nerd or a professional to do it for you. All right. And so what if that's my mode now? What if it's about teaching people rather than learning? Because I think maybe after you had 2,000 teachers who are like, you know, the best at what they do in various, you know, respective forms, I think, you know, you're currently now obligated to teach what you know.
Okay, question for you, Vin. As a radio host, and this is great when talking to people like yourself, as we both run radio stations, have been doing for a long time, and just a query, we interview an awful lot of people and have done over the years. How many other radio shows or radio stations have interviewed you over the years? Just out of curiosity. I mean, I know you've done a lot of interviews, but how many have come back or many people have said, right, we want to interview you in comparison to how many you've done?
Maybe 10%.
Yeah.
So been on several hundred other radio shows and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, because this is something that came up during the week about people who do radio shows. Like, we've interviewed an awful lot of people, all the people you've interviewed and that knowledge that you've gained over the years, and I'm the same, and, you know, my co-host Steve is the same. And, yeah, we very rarely get asked to do radio shows to share that information. So I don't know, not too sure what's going on there. With people who are actually doing their own shows, where we have this vast knowledge of information from all the interviews and people we've spoken to, people who've passed on.
Bobby, come here. Well, speaking of things passing on, I've just had a little interruption here by my baby. Come here, Baba. Come here, baby. I just wanted to show you guys on the screen my little Bubba here, because, you know, you're talking about developments and whatnot. I forgot the most important development at all.
Oh,
my little baby.
Hey. He's a daddy.
Say hello, baby. Say hello. Wave to everybody.
I know we're on radio and people can't see the video, but Vinny is actually on video and he's showing us his new child on video.
Mini Vinny.
Yeah. Oh, she's my little blue-eyed, blonde-haired little baby Vinny replicant, and she's very cute and she's very sweet, and she waves when you ask her to. Wave to everybody, baby.
Hello, wave. Can you hear? Wave.
Hey.
Wave. See, she waves her little hands, and it's very, very sweet. But she's also trying to eat an apple on me and stuff. Mommy, the bubby needs you.
No, I mean, just as I say, there's been a lot going on, Vinny, over the years. We didn't know that now. So congratulations on that, becoming a dad. It's hard work now, you know, it's all uphill from now on, you know, and as you say, like, my son is 20 now, but, you know, it doesn't get easier, it just gets different, as you say, being a parent.
Yeah. That's as one challenge ends, you're like, oh man, I got the lock that down, and then all of a sudden, whoa, what's this? So I think it's something really important to maybe go through, and it's also something that is biologically programmed unto us. I mean, let's face facts here, guys. When you see a really, really fit, beautiful, well-dressed woman walking down the road, your first instinct isn't, oh, she's got a lovely shoes. No, your first instinct is an animal instinct. It is. And then that animal instinct is there because without it, we would have gone extinct. And now at this point, we're actually facing extinction because so many smart people are like going, oh, this might be a real tough time to have children and stuff like that. Oh, I don't want to grow up in a world. I don't want my children to grow up in this world. It's too tough to be a child. It's like, are you kidding me? When was the last time you had to leave the house in the pouring snow, covered in an animal skin, armed only with a spear, to try and stalk an animal and kill it with your bare hands if you have to, and then drag its carcass across mountains and valleys and rivers and things like that back to your freaking cave, where you're freezing to death and damn near suffering from frostbite, where you use a sharpened stone to slice that thing open, while you sit with smoke belching in your face from an open fireplace as you try to cook this one little bit of meat that you can actually eat tonight so that you and your family can survive. All right, people are like, oh, it's so hard to survive today. Hey, bitch, you've got Uber Eats, all right? This is, parenting is not that hard, okay? It's just enduring, all right? Mm-hmm. It's not like a piece of responsibility that you can just come on, hey, take care of my car for the weekend or something like that. Make sure you don't damage it. Sure. No. This is, you have to take care of a life, all right? You have to take care of a vessel of your own immortality, all right? What I mean by that is there's only two ways that mankind can ostensibly attain immortality. One is through their progeny, and the other is through their narrative. Our stories are how we survive forever. Our children are how we survive forever. We are here temporarily, and if we don't take that responsibility to pass on our knowledge, our genetics, and so on and so forth, we deserve the very extinction that's coming to us. And as Ed Dutton, Professor Ed Dutton, the jolly heretic, told me, Vinny, if you have a reasonably high IQ, you need to be having as much unprotected sex as possible and have as much children as you can possibly responsibly take care of, because the world is filling up with idiots, right? Now, what that means is, in a real sense, you take it 20, 30 years down the track, and the electricity grid goes down. And there literally aren't enough intelligent people left. They aren't around to know how to fix it, okay?
Should I bring fire?
Huh?
Barry, bring fire.
Yeah.
Caveman style, you know.
Well, I tell you one thing. COVID is a game changer then, Vinny, because obviously one of the things that I was actually looking at the other day was the fact that this is a culling of the people who cannot critically think and research and think for themselves. And the people who are avoiding the experimental drug, because that's what it is, are the critical thinkers. And that's what apparently the elites want, not the people who are walking line in line like dodos off a bloody cliff, lining up for the vaccine.
You know, and there's an old saying, sometimes people end up exactly where they deserve to be. All right. Reality doesn't care what we think. All right. Gravity doesn't, you know, see a little girl about to fall off a cliff and go, oh, I'm going to grant her an exception because she's so small and so sweet. No, reality is a very harsh thing, kind of like nature. It doesn't have any mercy. All right. And to illustrate that, I remember one article this time, and there were these two millennial girls, and they wanted to prove that the world was basically a safe place and that people were generally good. And they decided to prove this by taking a bicycle tour around Afghanistan.
Oh, I remember.
And they got got murdered, and that's the end of the story. It's not a long story, but it's a good story because we've got a moral. You know, like, reality doesn't care what you think. All right. And if you don't understand that, reality will punish you in some cases very severely to remind other people of the lesson that you didn't get.
Mm.
Okay. Now, right now, the reality that people are starting to deal with is the reality that evil didn't get vanquished as soon as World War II ended. That subterfuge, deception, tradecraft of the intelligence services, propaganda, education, manipulation, cult indoctrination have basically subverted the thinking process of the vast majority of the population to where it no longer exists. It's non-functioning. It's very similar to how they would program children in the Michael Bay film The Island. All right, simple games to enforce these social skills that we want them to, without an awareness of sex or so on and so forth. Basically, they're like children educated to the level of a 15-year-old. And I was just thinking about how stupid and how easily manipulated I was when I was 15. And you look around the rest of the population, think about it. All right. You've matured since you were 15 because you listened to people that nobody wanted to listen to. And you talked about things nobody wanted to talk about. That's how you grow. That's how you become responsible. That's how you become honorable. That's how you become decent. And the dishonorable, indecent time that we live in means that we are now the enemy. And they are going to persecute us. They already have started. And being an anti-vaxxer, being a conspiracy theorist, being controversial, being a Christian, you know, being a freedom fighter, any number of these things that we've got, being a flat earther, blah, 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 whatever label that they can flick on you, Trump supporter, Q-tard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
White
they've
male.
Been building up. They've been building up this image in the public minds because they're going to create a Stasi, a secret police, where one in three people are going to be working with them. That means that if me and my wife and my one-year-old daughter are sitting around having a table, one of us is working for the secret police. That was what it was like in East Germany.
Well, didn't Stalin say, show me the man, I'll show you the crime? You know, so that's it, you know. That's and this
I saw a great meme of Stalin laughing and pointing. You know, he goes, "You make me laugh. Go to Gulag."
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you know, obviously Barry's with me here as a co-host as well, first time on the show, and just obviously Vinny's talking about what's going on and what he's seeing from your point of view with your circle of friends and all that. What are you seeing with everything going on with COVID?
Oh, jeez, where to begin? It's what Vinny said and more. To me, it just seems like Stalin isn't dead, the whole regime of the Soviet Union. I mean, I've been called Hitler online. It's like, oh, what are you, Hitler? Yeah. You just say, yeah, just agree, because they go nuts over it. It's hilarious. But it's just, look, I don't call it the European Union. I call it the Soviet Union. Because that's
I called it the European Union.
Yeah, it just seems that everything is an extension of this extreme Marxist ideology, and that is it's very, very dangerous. It's very hazardous. It's anti-humanity. That's what it
appears.
Well,
when you talk about danger, I mean, statistically speaking, it's actually in the 20th century. In terms of unnatural causes of death, your democratically elected government are more likely to kill you than anything else.
Well, okay, let's get the figures. Yeah. I mean, the third biggest killer in the world is the medical profession. So they are legally dealing drugs, which are bad for you, and killing so much of the population using these drugs, and it's all done legally. You know,
clinical trials.
If I may, I also, in New Zealand, these statistics play out as well. However, they hide the statistical decline in New Zealand. So what they do is they say X amount of people died of cancer, X amount of people died of medical misadventure, X amount of people died of XYZ reason. Okay. Now, but the top, out of the top eight reasons why people die, three of them are caused by the medical profession, number two, number four, and number eight, right? So if you combine number two, four, and eight, and the stat and the stats on that above the number one cause of natural death, which is, you know, cancer, incidentally part of the medical profession, you'd find that the medical system in New Zealand is the leading cause of death, all right? The leading cause of death. The people who are saying that they're going to heal you are statistically more likely to kill you than any other factor in this country. All right. It's more likely to kill you than a car crash, more likely to kill you than a heart attack, more likely to kill you than being exposed to cell phone radiation for 24 hours a day for 6 months. All right. This is a real dangerous profession, and it is just absolutely occupied by these cult indoctrinated psychopaths. All right. Now, if you have the letters MD after your name, Dr. Bill Deagle told me this. He used to subcontract for the NSA. He said that if you have the letter MD after your name, you're 11 times more likely to be a serial killer. Okay. Now, how do you get into the medical profession? You know, why does everybody look up to them or anything like that? It's cult indoctrination. What's the first step of cult indoctrination? Look at this person. Aren't they wonderful? Don't you want to be like them? Then you dangle a prize in front of them. Look, it's the doctorate. Hey, did you want this? Hey, 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 how do I get that? Oh, well, all you got to do is just sign your life away on this little dotted line here. And you go, oh, great. Can I get that prize? Can I be like that great person? Oh, yeah, I'll sign my life away on the dotted line. And then they've got you. All right. And then they'll use that against you and to guilt trip you. And whenever you think to yourself, man, I really don't like the environment here. They've got fluorescent lighting, which keeps me kind of sleepy, but not awake. So my brain and my faculty aren't really here. There isn't really any good food at the cafeteria here. I feel like I'm being deprived of nutrition. We have to do lots of mindless, repetitive tasks that don't make any sense. We have a central authority figure who can't be questioned. And every time I try to question them, I get ostracized and poo-pooed as though there's an indoctrinated silo mentality here. And every time I question it or anything like that, they threaten to withdraw the prize from me. But once I get the prize, once I've gone through that entire indoctrination process and gotten my little MD or something like that, then I'll be the one parading around saying, aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? Don't you want to go through the cult indoctrination practice too? I'll be the one guilt-tripping people who question. I'll be the one ostracizing people who think outside the box. You see what I'm saying? This is how cults work. This is how they indoctrinate people. The key here, the one thing that I haven't mentioned though, is isolation. Now think about what we're going through right now. The term isolation, COVID-19, self-isolating. We're all alone, and who's hijacked all of the media frequencies to tell us that there's this prize that we're after, immunity from all the vaccines and things like that, and we're getting stressed out and traumatized, and we're isolated from all of our people, and people are guilt tripping us into accepting this program. Do you see what's going on here? The exact same kind of medical cult indoctrination, which is ubiquitous across cult indoctrination, by the way, and this is including isolation and trauma. All right, anybody out there experiencing the COVID world not being at least slightly traumatized by it? Okay, we are all being cult indoctrinated. Okay, this is a radical shift in human consciousness globally, simultaneously. In a decade or two, when children have grown up and they only know this, they won't be human anymore. They won't think like a human. They won't feel like a human. They will be a cult member of the global satanic dictatorship, and they will see anybody who is not part of their cult, exactly like cult members do, as dangerous, something to be either indoctrinated or eradicated.
Well, we could and we may go down that route, but I have more positive feelings about what's going on. I do believe, as I said before we went live, we had a little chat, and I do believe if you step away from the planet and have a look at it from a celestial point of view, I do believe that there's a lot of good things, and I can see good things happening. I can see more people waking up and see more whistleblowers coming out. And I do believe that the cult or the cabal or whatever you want to call them are struggling because people are not buying into it. I mean, even the article that we read out there, they're trying to blame cannabis now as an item that causes the problems, heart attacks and stuff like that. You know,
I've got to get in here because cannabis is probably the reason why I became an activist in the first place. You know, got arrested for it and really, really traumatized me. I mean, I've suffered with that arrest for my entire life, not from cannabis, but from the arrest for it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember I was interviewing Dr. Lester Grinspoon before he died. And I talked about, you know, how smoking can harm the lungs or something like that, and he says no, actually it doesn't. I was like, what are you talking about? It's hot, it's a smoke and everything like that. He goes, no, it doesn't. What actually happens is, because the cannabis is a natural plant extract and things like that, yes, you're getting heat, yes, you're getting smoke and all of that kind of stuff, but they're actually particles of the cannabis, and the particles of the cannabis are what's called cannabinoids, right? Mm. Now, the reason why cannabis seems to work for pretty much everything is it's what I call a transmutable molecule. So when you're born, your mother's breast milk, it has cannabinoids in it. Stimulates the baby's appetite, makes them calm, helps them sleep, that kind of thing, because the mother produces cannabinoids. They're called endocannabinoids, cannabinoids from within. And the entire body, every human body, has an endocannabinoid system. Every cell that we have has these little cannabinoid receptors. They're like little sea anemones. They just sit there and they're looking to grab stuff. And then when you smoke cannabis, when you ingest cannabis, when you inject it, I'm not sure if people can inject it or snort it or whatever, but regardless, if there's loose cannabinoid molecules rolling through the system, these little sea anemone things will sit there and they'll see it and they'll reach out and they'll grab it. And the cannabis molecule sort of looks like this. It's a little bit of a prong thing, and it's in all these little distorted patterns because it's a carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen molecule. Those are the building blocks of life, ostensibly. Now, what happens here is that the cell has a little signal membrane, and it actually sends a signal to the cannabinoid molecule saying, I need zinc, I need magnesium, or I need more electrons, etc. And the cannabinoid molecule actually responds by rearranging its own chemical structure into the exact shape of the chemical compound that the cell is requiring, inserts itself into it, and then injects the nutrients. Okay? Mm. That's why cannabis appears to work for pretty much anything. Now, the medical industry, on the other hand, saw a massive threat when this discovery was made, because it means that not a single one of their medications, not one of them, would really have a terribly large amount of use, because what they do is they extract one composition, one compound, whereas if people could ingest a plant medicine that was able to transmute itself into any compound, any combination, depending on what the person has, what need do you have for billion-dollar research grants and things like that? Particularly because cannabis has been used by the human race for approximately 10,000 years, and so far, zero recorded overdoses. All right, zero people have actually died from smoking cannabis. And as Jack Herer, the writer of the Hemp Bible, once said, the only people that have been killed by cannabis are those who have been shot in the back by the police running away. It is immoral to keep this medicine, or what the Maori call rongoa, away from people, especially the elders.
I like the comment. One guy said, the only people that have died from cannabis is when it falls over a CIA plane and lands on your head. Which I thought was pretty good.
Well, the CIA don't necessarily run cannabis too much, but what they do, they really love the cocaine. They really love the heroin. That's what... Iran-Contra, that was what...
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan was about, you know. Before the US invaded Afghanistan, Afghanistan grew approximately 1% of the world's supply of heroin. 365 days after the US invasion, they grew about 70%, and that just kept increasing after that. Now, that's because you need drug money to run black ops. Let's say you're an immoral, evil, demonically possessed entity, and you have control of a government, and you want to bring hell on earth. And in order to do that, you need to accomplish a whole lot of things without anybody knowing that you're doing it. And because finances can be very easily tracked, you need to do everything in cash. So what do? You make drugs illegal. Why? Because since the beginning of time, everybody wants drugs, okay? And if they say that they don't, it's because they're an idiot and they haven't tried them yet, okay? Now, I'm not saying that every drug is good, okay? Some of them are great. Now, the thing about it is, when we're talking about this black ops situation, what you're really talking about is the reason for the creation of the CIA. They're called the Company. Their job is to manage the U.S. economy. Well, hold on a second, Vinny. You're talking about drugs. You're talking about the U.S. economy. How's this all linked in? Okay, well, let me just explain. First of all, if they make drugs illegal, you don't have any civil liberties. They can search you. They can violate your rights. They can put you away, put you in prison and stuff like that. It's beautiful. It gives them a whole bunch of excuses that they never had before. Number two, if those drugs are illegal, you can grow them yourself. And because you're the government, nobody can bust you for it. So you can sell it on the international market. You can have $1 billion worth of cocaine on a C-130 Hercules on Mexico airport, and it's marked evidence under big black bags and things like that as you import them into the United States and distribute them to the black population. Then you use that cash and you go to Wall Street. All right. Why Wall Street, Vinny? Well, because you know how when you give 10 grand in cash to your bank, they go, where the hell did this money come from? We're going to have to do some checking. Well, if you have a company listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you don't have to do that. So if Coca-Cola comes in with $700 million worth of laundered drug money that the CIA gave them, the bank teller goes, yep, sure, just leave it here. We'll take care of it.
Coca-Cola, that's a slow day for you.
How does the economy function when we're in all this debt and credit card debt and everybody's like ass over in their mortgage and stuff like that? It's because the drug money is keeping the economy going, all right? As soon as they legalize all that drugs and all that black money becomes on the books, the entire economy collapses like a house of cards. That's why they have to keep it illegal, because if they don't, it'll destroy everything. Now, what I mean by everything, I mean their apparatus, their desire for control. This is a centralized portion of an agenda that we're dealing with here, the suppression of the human desire for drug use, altered states of consciousness. If you can stop consciousness from expanding or being altered, then you can be the one in control through the television, through the social media, through the radio waves. And that's what's happened in New Zealand. The government gave the media, private and public media, $100 million. This is a country of 5 million people. And then they gave them $900 million in advertising revenue so they could play their COVID ads. And now it sounds like this. When you're listening to the news, all the news is about COVID. Welcome to the evening news. We've had a heck of a lot more cases, but thank goodness we're in lockdown and a hell of a lot of people are vaccinated. We're going to have an even more lockdowns now, and everybody better get even more vaccines in them. And now it's time for a commercial break.
This is a COVID-19 announcement. Happy birthday. day to you. And now it's time for Dave with the traffic report.
Yeah, g'day everybody. The traffic's backed up for miles outside the COVID testing stations. The drive-in vaccination centres are absolutely chock-a-too. Get down here and get in line, ladies and gentlemen. Get your vaccine. You'll get here pretty quick because there's no traffic anywhere else because it's locked down. And now it's time for a bit of music. G'day everybody. You've got to get down to the Rhythm and Vines Festival today. If you're double jabbed and you have your vaccine passport and the thing around your wrist that allows you to COVID tracer app everywhere you go within the festival so we know all your movements and all your contacts, you'll be able to come with the festival. And we're not just doing this because we got threatened to have our festival franchise taken off us by the government if we didn't capitulate and do these ads. But now it's time for Karen with the weather.
Hi, everybody. New Zealand's going to be having some great weather today because the showers have decided to self-isolate.
Okay, I'm sitting there. And my eyes twitching, and I'm starting to get kind of a rage thing, and I'm like, oh God, I can't handle this anymore. I want to listen to some 80s music. Coast FM. All right, first 15 minutes on the hour, two COVID ads come on.
Hi everybody, take your vaccine. Don't be one of those terrible anti-vaxxer bastards.
And then another one. All right, this is in the 15-minute ad break. And then the half-hour ad break, the host comes on. And it doesn't sound like he can even read, but he's reading off a script, I'm sure of it. Get your jab, everybody. It's for your safety, and it's safe and effective. And yeah, get your jab. And then on the 45-minute mark, another two COVID ad come on.
Hi, everybody, get your vaccine. Don't be one of those anti-vaxxer bastards.
And then I'm just sitting there, like I'm starting to get really, really angry now. And then the news break comes on the ad. Hour, every hour, it sounds like exactly what I just told you. And this is on a music station. All right.
Yep.
I tried to change through the band during the music station and across all the other channels, and it went like this. COVID. Lockdown. COVID. Lockdown. Get your vaccine. Don't be an anti-vaxxer. You know, like that kind of thing. Every single station completely freaking saturated. And all, I was like, okay, what are they talking about on talk radio? Maybe they've got some callers coming in talking about something different or something like that. And I'm coming in at News Dog ZB, a review from every angle. I'm like, oh, thank God, this is going to be good. We need vaccines, we need lockdowns, we need them now. I completely disagree. We need them yesterday. You're not suppressing people's rights brutally enough. Every view from every angle, Newstalk ZB. And I'm sitting there and I'm starting to like get some kind of a brain heart attack because of the frustration with this. Because I, at the time, I'm banned from having any access to any freaking knowledge on the internet and stuff like that. And I'm starting to freak out. And I'm like, oh my God, they've managed to completely subvert the entire stream of public consciousness from one thing, which is anything that's going on.
Okay.
To this one thing, which is, this is the only thing that's going on. This is the only thing you should think. And it's just, it's a terrifying, horrific nightmare to see, because it's happened so quickly.
I know. And the thing is, watching the chat room and everything, people saying very entertaining, but some people have to turn down the volume. look, one of the things that I've said before on the show is that the magic trick. They're using the magic trick, the psychology of fear, where it shuts down the prefrontal cortex and you're in flight or flight mode, and people aren't thinking, because that's what happens when your prefrontal cortex gets shut down. And I've talked about this. I've had Rachel Alexander on, who's a psychologist, and we've talked about this on the show, and how they're applying this psychology like they did in the World War II. The Germans use psychology as well, you know, giving out the one radio to everybody and pumping the propaganda through the radio station. Ireland is no different, Vinny. Ireland, we have to pay, well, if you want to do it, there's a TV license anyway by acts and statutes that say you have to pay it. And we have a main broadcaster called RTE, and all the other radio stations apparently were funded. I'm speculating now, because apparently that's what's been said. I've no physical evidence in front of me to actually confirm that, but apparently the speculation is that they have all received funding, and obviously they've used that to promote what's going on. And RT is no different, and we've had it. Now, I have seen a difference in the media over here, where in the early days on, I don't know whether you've seen it on TV and RT. I don't really watch the news on TV at all. But I had the radio station on, Sunshine Radio. And in the early days, they used to have all the COVID thing. It was COVID, COVID, COVID. Everything was COVID, everything, COVID, COVID, COVID. Yeah. Everything was literally COVID, COVID, COVID. Now, they're barely saying it on the news. It's kind of said in passing, and it's down the list. It's not as important. Mm. Now, I don't know why that is, but here's the good thing, Vinny. This is how our government over here in Ireland, this is how incompetent our government is, and this is what they do, and people accept this. We have a group, maybe every country has it. I know in the UK they have the SAGE group, which is the psychologist, and we have a group over here called NEFID. And the guy who's in charge of NEFID is a Dr. Tony Holohan. Now, a few years ago, there was a cervical cancer scandal which he was in charge of, where women were apparently diagnosed that they were told that they didn't have cervical cancer, and they did, and they died of cancer. And you would think this guy would get jailed, or he'd get demoted, he'd get sacked.
Lambasted.
Yeah. Or you'd think something would happen to him. But what did the Irish government do? They put him in charge of the COVID NEFID group over here. You know what?
This reminds me of a scene that I wrote in a script called A Werewolf, where this guy he doesn't like conspiracy theories, and it started to stress him out, everybody talking about it. So he goes to a psychiatrist to give him some pills to take his mind off it. Hmm. Now, unbeknownst to him, the psychiatrist works for MK Ultra and has given him pills that turn him into a werewolf. And what happens is during this thing, he's talking to him, and the psychiatrist is trying to tell him that almost all the world leaders, all the people that you see on TV that are messing the world up and everything, they've come through programs like this. Mm. And he says, why do you think the world is the way it is? And the guy goes, well, because all those people are idiots. And the doctor leans in and says, then why have they been getting away with it? Mm. All right. These people aren't idiots. They're bad people. That's the thing. We're good people. And so we would like to think that the reason why these people are doing this kind of thing is like, oh, they're just too stupid or anything like that. But what if they were satanic pedophiles? What if the day after they do all of these things that you think, oh man, how can they sleep all night? They sleep like a baby because they don't possess a conscience to keep them up.
Yeah, and the psychopaths, no empathy at all whatsoever. You know, that's it. And isn't that what they say? I think that bullies are attracted to the police force and psychopaths are attracted to politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a saying, I can't remember who said it, it was basically, oh, you want to become rich? Yeah, you don't invent something, get into politics. Mm.
Well, they always have their head in the trough anyway. They know, they know the system is not designed to fix the system.
No.
Because the 1% enjoy the way things are, that they have what they want and the people underneath don't have what they want, and they have that level. If we all were raised up to the level they were, then they wouldn't be in the position they're in with the 1%, the golden circle. So if people think that politicians who cause the problem are going to be the ones to fix the problem, they're delusional.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't believe, with the fact that we have the internet, and all the, no, I know they say ignorance is a choice now. We have the internet. By the way, I'll just say to people, if you have a question for Vinny on the chat room, put a Q or the word question, and then we'll be able to ask questions to Vinny in a few minutes. But it's just this amount of information out there. And I think thanks to the internet, now I know they're trying to restrict it with social media, but I think they made a complete boo-boo because they probably thought they could use the internet as propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, I just need to go quickly take a wiki leak. Is this a one-hour show or two-hour show?
It's a one-hour show. Oh, sorry, two-hour show. We'd be another hour or so, yeah?
I'll be right back.
That's okay. I'll talk to Barry.
Co-host.
Co-host.
This week's co-host.
So this is, so the whole thing with the internet, I think the internet's actually shot them.
Personally, sorry to interrupt now, but I personally think the internet is their biggest downfall. Mm. Like you said, it was like, oh yeah, geez, we can use this to our advantage, but it exploded into this mass method of just instant communication, and they've lost control. Mm. They're trying so desperately to claw it back and claw it back, and they can't. It's not working out for them, so I personally, I would say the internet is probably their biggest downfall.
The control of the social media. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about why certain social media went down, Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's talk about the Starlink system. If people don't know about the Starlink system and the white hats and what's going on, it's quite interesting. There's a lot of people out there begin to tune in and talk about it and what's happening. And the general consensus is that the white hats are in control, but they're letting things run the way they are running because people have to actually wake up and realise what's going on.
They're opening the door very slowly to show you what's happening.
And on a very high level, things are changing, but on a day-to-day level, because remember, they still control the media. Mm. So they're pushing out their narrative and people are probably losing a little bit of faith saying, is this going to get worse? But I definitely think that the amount of people, even in the two-year period since March 2020, who have woken up in that period of time and seen what was going on, the doctors and the nurses and everything else, the whistleblowers who've come out and exposed what's going on, because I think there's been a massive awakening, and this is exactly what has to happen.
Honestly, I think the lockdown has worked against them in the end.
Yeah.
Because think about the amount of people that sit in a home because of the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, they get pissed off, I've watched everything on Netflix, what'll I do? They end up going exploring outwards.
Yeah.
You know, they say, oh, well, geez, I have a computer here, I have broadband, I may as well use it, you know. They're looking up things, they're getting in touch with yourself, with the likes of Vinny and all the others, and you know,
I mean, maybe not me. I mean, I'm not really one's first port of call because you know, people are going like, oh, I want to wake people up. I don't. I want to get people out of bed.
Past
the whole waking up thing. Mm. It's like you've actually got to go to work now. All right, you've got to get out there and you've got to do your thing against the new world order. You know, people say that I'm controversial, and they don't really know what the word controversial means. You think, oh, it might be naughty or bad or something like that. No. Controversial means you're being confronted with a piece of information that's going to force you to change the way you live your life. More to the point, force you to make a choice about whether or not you're going to change the way you live your life. So the things is, we're trying to educate people, and what that is different to indoctrination. Indoctrination is you repeat what we tell you. Education is you hear what we tell you and you incorporate it into your understanding of the world. All right, that's the kind of thing. Whether we're telling you the 100% truth or whether we've got our facts mixed up or doesn't matter, even a desert of lies can yield a grain of truth. And the thing that's really happening here, as you're talking about with control of the media, is the end of dialogue between people who disagree.
Mm. Well, yeah. That's how you get change. Mm. Is talking to people.
Well, the problem is, does certain subjects, for example, being a radio host, I'd like to get two opposing parties on to be able to talk about it. But here's the thing. I keep talking about Aristotle and then entertaining the possibility, you know, an educated mind, and be willing to change your belief system and have an opinion and rather not and not be opinionated. But trying to find two people who get that concept and who are willing to possibly change, it's very difficult because when you have invested a lot of time in one belief system, it's very hard for people to change.
Yeah, it's not really a conversation. It's a shouting match. It's between, a shouting.
That's
well,
what happens.
My opinion is right and yours is wrong. No, mine is right. Yours is wrong. Yeah.
And it's very hard. And there's a lot of subjects out there that are divide and conquer subjects, which are great for the government. And
well, I've got a joke that perfectly illustrates this. Okay, there's two ascended masters, and they've both got into meditation. They both got very different beliefs, and they come from different religions. But they were both meditating at the same time, and they both appear in view of the mountain of truth. Both their religions talk about the mountain of truth, and they both appear on opposite sides of it. And on one side of the mountain of truth, one guy sees that there's a little knob at the top and some ridges that cascade down from the knob and some ridges inside that. And it's sort of like convex and sort of goes inward, a little bit of a sort of a cave system on the side of the mountain. And the other guy's looking from the other side, and from his side, it looks like there's these two big boulder formations down the bottom with a big shaft of the mountain that goes up with a much larger boulder formation on the top of it. And one guy says to him, "Oh, my God, it looks like a dick, you pussy." And the other guy goes, "No, it looks like a pussy, you dick." And the other guy says, "Don't call me a dick, you pussy." And the other guy goes, "Well, then don't call me a pussy, you dick." And they start fighting over and that kind of thing. And there's this guy at the very top of the mountain of truth. He's already gotten up there. He's looking at these guys who've only just been made aware for the very first time that the mountain of truth exists. And they're too busy arguing about which perspective is correct to even try and climb to the top, because they're both too much of a dick and too much of a pussy to see things from somebody else's perspective.
Yeah. And this is it. And this is one going forward, you know. I mean, I talk on my show a lot about psychology because I have a background in that. And this is why I get the likes of Rachel Alexander on to talk about it, to get into the psychology. And we talk about, now this is before your time, Vinny, because when myself and Steve hosted Open Your Mind Radio, we put together what we call the fluid belief system, based on the quote from Aristotle, where the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain the thought without accepting it. And so instead of being black and white, where it's true, it's not true, the grey area was to entertain it and go, okay, that's interesting, I'll put it on the shelf, and if you have evidence, the great, I'll have a look at that. And that was really for people asking us, how do we wake people up? And of course, people are giving them chemtrail information and all this kind of stuff. And people go, you're a conspiracy theorist. So myself and Steve said, right, okay, we have to back away from that because it's not working. You can argue all night whether the moon is made of cheese and you'll never win the argument. So we said, right, let's apply psychology to this. So that's what we did. And we found, people said that now applying that method has been working fantastically, because you're not talking about the content, you're talking about how they think, their psychology, their belief system, how the mind works. Because when you challenge somebody's belief system, if you say to somebody, do you have an open mind? And they go, yeah, I've got an open mind. And then you give them something that challenges their belief system, they'll shut down straight away. And so I go through, I won't go into it tonight, but myself and Steve have done seminars and we've talked about this and we went into the psychology of how the mind works when you give it information. Sorry, Vin.
Yeah. Well, it's just Dr. Reamer told me about this thing that I've come to call the seventh incident. And in the first incident, somebody will come up to you from a certain social circle at a certain time in your life. And they'll tell you something that's completely the opposite of your very strongly held belief. You'll tell them, F off, you're a conspiracy theorist. The second incident, a second different person from a second different social circle at a second different time in your life comes and tells you the exact same thing that's contrary to your very strongly held belief. You'll tell them, F off, you're a conspiracy theorist. By the time you have the seventh incident, a seventh different person, a seventh different time in your life from a seventh different social circle telling you the exact same thing that's very, very counter to your very strongly held belief, you'll consider changing it. Now, how does that work in context? Well, it's like David Icke said, you can't convince anybody of anything, but you can tell them things they cannot unhear. All right. Now, in practice, what I call this is the information grenade. You say one thing, you poke it in. If they're not receptive and stuff like that, oh, well, never mind. And you just go on and you go on with your life, that kind of thing. And you hope that six other people play their part at some point, or maybe a few already have, and maybe you were just one more. And eventually, because we didn't shut up, because we didn't say nothing, and because we didn't push it or have any emotional investment in somebody waking up, they wake up all on their own, and we didn't have to do it. We just had to play our part.
Let me give you an example of that. I'll give you an example of this happened to me the other day. Right? So I was down in the local hardware shop, and I'm looking for incandescent light bulbs. right? Because we know LED light bulbs are bad for your eyes, right? So I'm walking around the hardware store and none of them, they're all LED bulbs. So the guy from Solus, which is the light bulb company over here in Ireland, is loading up the shelf with the new bulbs. And I went up to him, I said, do you have any incandescent light bulbs? And he goes, oh, we don't make them anymore. And I said, yeah. I said, I thought that might be the case. I said, you do a lot of LEDs, don't you? He goes, yeah. And I said, yeah, I don't want them. They're bad for your eyes. All right, thanks a lot. And I just walked away. So I left him with that thought. I didn't push it. Didn't go into any detail. I just left him with the thought. And hopefully he's thinking, God, I didn't know LEDs were bad for your eyes. Is he? You know, because I didn't mention conspiracy theories, I didn't mention anything else. All I said is, no, I don't want them. LEDs are bad for your eyes. And then I walked away. So hopefully that will work.
He will have the curiosity to kind of...
Well, he might... he's working for the company. He might check up on it. But the seven principles that you said there, them seven stages, before you even get to the seventh, what we're trying to say psychologically to people is that you have to be able to challenge your everything of your belief system. And the problem is that there's two sides to the belief system, right? You've got one side, which is kind of the flexible bit you'll change because it's trivial and it won't really affect your life.
Yeah.
Then you have the other solid belief system that, oh, I'm not going to change that. That's what I've been programmed for years. And as Dave Icke says, it's not about intelligence. It's about perception. And you get your perception up to the age of seven from your parents and your friends and family and school teachers and everything else. So what we are trying to do with the fluid belief system is say to people, you have to be able to challenge your belief system, everything about it, because what you know today might change tomorrow and it might contradict what you know today. And if your belief system is fluid, then you won't get stressed. You won't get panic. Your ego will be in contact, you know, won't be affected because you're taking the ego out of the equation.
Yeah.
But unless, of course, you interview somebody like Rachel Vaughan, who was very ritualistically, satanically abused as a child for 6 hours, then you might get a little bit of a difficulty adjusting to your new belief structure. You know, people are confused about the world a lot of the time, especially people like us, you know, conspiracy theorists. Oh, I can't believe people are doing that. I don't understand that. How can they sleep at night or something like that? And this occurrence to me is that we're looking through the wrong lens. All right. The lens that we've been brought up with is that people in charge and everybody is basically like us. You know, very, very similar in what makes us tick and so on and so forth, and how we respond to things. But that's not the case at all. There are people that are in charge of the world that are not like us. So the imagination that we need to have is simply about putting that new lens on. Okay, one lens on, watch the news. What's the lens telling you? The lens is telling you that everybody's like you. This doesn't make any sense. How can they say that? How can they sleep at night? I don't understand. Okay, let's try replacing the lens. Watch the news again. Okay, what's the lens telling you? World's run by child trafficking Satanists. Okay, watch the news. Well, they make perfect. Of course. You know, and I tell people this and they're like, Yeah, it does make a heck of a lot more sense now, Vinny. Thank you very much for letting me know. Now I feel so much better. Oh, a world run by child trafficking Satanists, eh? Oh, okay. Thanks, Vinny.
Yeah, but Vinny, but here's the thing.
Just doing my part,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, but Vinny, that's too high-level knowledge. Well, you know, what we said is that everybody's on a path of knowledge. And if somebody wakes up and they're giving out about, say, a TV license, or they're giving out about 5G, you don't go in and start telling them about a satanic paedophiles who are running the world. It's too much for them. They're not ready for it. They're not at that stage. So what we say to people is, you find out what level of the path they're on and give them information in relation to that level they're at. Don't give them anything higher because they're not ready for it. They won't be able to take it. They won't accept it. So, and this is the kind of, a lot of confusion. A lot of people say, oh, I'm open-minded. And they're talking about 5G and maybe fluoride in the water. And all of a sudden you go, oh, if you're open-minded, I've got loads of stuff here about Roswell and UFOs and everything else. And they're just not ready for it. And they haven't gone down them rabbit holes yet to research. So I always say to people, just give people information at the level they're at. And that way, bit by bit, like all of us, we've all done it. We all started off with the, I think there's something going on here in the world. And then we go researching. And then bit by bit, over the years, we start building our knowledge and research, and we've been down some rabbit holes. There's some stuff down there. There's other rabbit holes. There's nothing down there. And we've all made mistakes, and we've all been caught out and with information and stuff like that. It's all part of the journey that we're on. But we have to get very clever. If people want to go and wake people up or shake them or do whatever, if you want to go down that road, then there's better methods to do that. Oh, here's our cup of tea coming in. That's brilliant. excuse me, there's better methods to do it rather than just going in and doing the shock treatment and going, by the way, you're talking about fluoride in the water, here's those information about satanic abuse and everything else. They won't be able to accept it, you know?
Oh, that happened one time, actually. I had a donor back in the day who was going to give us $25,000. And then my producer goes, oh, thank you so much. Here's a whole bunch of PDFs about satanic torture and ritual abuse and stuff like that. Freaked them out and then cost us $25,000. So that was, you're absolutely right. Some people ain't ready for it. But also, I'm of the belief that Mark Passio is that it's too late to sugarcoat. All right. People need to wake up, and they need to wake up to everything, and they need to wake up to everything right now. And the reason why they can't wake up is partly due to psychology and all of that kind of thing. These things you say, and there are methodologies that can be employed that make waking people up more effective, to be sure. But the reason why some people don't wake up is because they're cowards and they're demoralized. All right. Now, I think it was Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB agent. He says that when the process of demoralization is complete, you can tell someone that black is black, white is white, and you can have the best scientific method to display this to them, and they will not be able to see it. Thus, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. The key word there is irreversible. What if he's right? What if the KGB, the Russians, the communists, and all these experiments and stuff that they did on human beings, they've actually figured out how to program a human being so that they physically could never wake up?
Yeah. Right. I'm sure they've done it. I mean, over in the UK, they have a team called SAGE, and as I say, we've NEFID. And the SAGE team are a bunch of psychologists who sit down and are deciding how they can psychologically manipulate the public for the government's benefit regarding COVID, right? So they're probably doing that. Every country will have their group of people. And, people have to be aware of this. Politicians and governments manipulate the people, the population. They do it all the time. I mean, that's why, they want to stay in power, because it's an aphrodisiac for them. And they want to stay in power. And this is the whole thing. And people have to be aware of this. I can't believe I said this, Vinny, on a post on Facebook. If you're over the age of 50 and you still trust your government and trust politicians, then you must live a sheltered life and be naive, especially over here in Ireland with the level of scandals that the Irish government, successive Irish governments, have had over the years. And yet still people go out and do what the government tell them to do, even though we've had all these scandals. And they fundamentally know in their system that politicians lie and governments can't be trusted. And they still believe the information.
Yeah, it's in their job description.
I love it. It's happening here in New Zealand where they're saying, oh, I hate Jacinda. She wants us to be all vaccinated and lock us down and everything like that. I want to vote for Judith Collins from the other party. All they want to do is lock us down and make us vaccinated and stuff. Wait, hold on a second, guys. Maybe you're missing a key component of your decision-making process here. It's called thinking, okay? And it's just... It's been almost weeded out completely. It's like, hey, there's a person with an independent thought. Jesus, we've got to do something about this.
Must be a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, no, well, see, Vinny, thinking takes energy. And when you look at in the world, you have givers and takers. And takers don't like using energy, and givers do. So to think takes energy. And if that's a taker, then they don't want to take the energy to think. And one of the things I've come across in the meme, which I thought was very good, is people have now outsourced their thinking to the government. You know, the whole, I can't be bothered doing the research and looking into this, so I'll let the government do all my thinking for me. That's really what's
the people that I know for a fact are liars that I can't trust are doing all my thinking for me. Okay, just cross the Rubicon on that thought there for a second, guys. You know,
but isn't it funny? It's unbelievable that people fundamentally know that you don't trust politicians, you don't trust the government. Again, we have the history there to prove it, and the scandals and everything else, and yet they still go and believe what they're told. And you don't even realise that, especially over here in Ireland, like our national broadcaster, RTE, is a semi-state body. So half owned privately, half owned by the government. So the government are funding the media. So, does that mean that the media will do what the government tell them or they won't get funding? So does that mean the media are going to tell the truth? Well, of course not, because you don't bite the hand that feeds you. But people still don't seem to get it.
But they're connected to the government. They must be telling the truth. Das Vidania, comrade.
Yeah, well...
They've got authority, you know, and truth comes from authority. Authority doesn't come from truth, you silly rabbit.
Apparently, RTE on their paperwork says that their charter says that they're impartial.
Yeah, it's like CNN in the US. They say that they shoot straight down the middle. They're not left or right leaning. Okay.
You know, impartial. I think shill is the important thing there. I mean, people don't know what a shill is. You know, they accuse Alex Jones. Or I've even been called a shill before, you know, and people don't know what that means. All right. It's like the story of Big Bill Rockefeller. He's the Primarch of the Rockefeller family. He's the one who originally amassed their fortune and raised his sons so horribly that they became the brutal psychopaths who set up the global dictatorship think tanks that we love today. And he was a traveling snake oil salesman, all right? Literally, a traveling snake oil salesman. But unlike other snake oil salesmen at the time, he was able to employ other con artists and scam huge areas simultaneously and then get all of those scammers across the border safely before they could get any repercussions, before people found out that their snake oil was a scam, all right? Mm. This is how the world truly works, is that we're suffering a perpetual scamdemic, all right? This new scamdemic that we're coming through, nothing new, okay? When the Bavarian Illuminati were formed in 1776 under Adam Weishaupt, the families and the conspirators put all their names on a document and they gave it to a courier who then rode off into the night to dispense this. And then he got struck by lightning outside a Christian man's house who was very well connected with the local magistrate. If that hadn't happened, we would have no knowledge of the Bavarian Illuminati. We would have no knowledge of the plan for this world. We would have no context. We would have no truth per se if various things hadn't happened the way that they happened. And this is how cognitive dissonance works on people, is that your brain can't hold two contrary beliefs, all right? It's like, let's say, for example, I believe that cannabis is a dangerous, evil drug, and I believe that cannabis is a natural medicine that can heal people. Now, I've got to tell you, there's a lot of people who actually hold those two different beliefs right now. Oh, yeah, CBD oil's really great. It's from cannabis and it's fine and it's good for you. But cannabis, no, I would never smoke that stuff. It's dangerous. people are just crazy. And what the belief is right now that people are struggling with is that the government loves me, okay? The government is my daddy. The government is my mummy. Mummy wasn't there for me. The government's there for me. Daddy wasn't there for me. The government's there for me. Tell me what to do, daddy. Take care of me, mummy.
The nanny state. It's the nanny state. The nanny state, because I'm incapable of being a responsible adult. So I need the nanny state to tell me what to do and not do. The likes of drink driving. I need a law to tell me not to drink drive, because I'm incapable of working out that if I drink and I drive, I could kill myself and somebody else. So I'll have the nanny state to bring in a law to stop me from drink driving, because I, as responsible adult, well, I'm not really. So that's why I let the nanny state bring in these laws.
I need to be told this.
Right, we have questions.
Kuba talked about this. He talked that communism was kind of like living at home with daddy. All right, you've got a house, you've got a roof over your head, you've got all the food you need, and you've got a car and what have you. But if you want to go over to the next town to go to a party, you have to ask daddy's permission. And if daddy says no, you can't go. Now, if you're living in your own house and you're doing what Samuel Adams called participating in the animating contest of freedom, you can go to that party, but you've got to take responsibility for yourself. Yeah. You've got to figure out, how am I going to sleep when I'm there? Where am I going to sleep when I'm there? Am I going to drive home? And how many hours do I need to sober up? And what food and water do I need? Being responsible means doing a lot of work, and as a result, you get freedom. Okay? Mm. That's what we're all out for at the end of the day. I remember what I was on a radio show, and this host was really, really hostile to me. She said to me, "Vinny, you shouldn't be allowed to do what you're doing." All right. And I go, "Well, have you ever listened to one of my 6,000 shows?" And she goes, "I will never watch an episode of your show, even if you paid me." And that was one of their hosts. One of their other hosts was there, and I talked about the informed consent and reading the side effects and the ingredients on vaccines before you take them. And this guy literally says, "Oh, my mummy and daddy are doctors, and they did the reading for me, and they told me it was okay." And I was like, "You're a 35-year-old man, and mummy and daddy are doing your research for you?"
His parents or the government?
No, his parents.
Both.
I think it's his parents. Vinny, we have questions here that we need to go over to from the listeners on the chat room there. Joan wants to know a question. Does Vinny think that all the COVID BS forcing people that never did much shopping online to do so, is it all about money?
I think it's down to the point where you could definitely say it's not all about money, all right? What does somebody who's got unlimited money crave more of? It's not money. It's power, okay? They have the power to force you to stay places, to go places, to do things, to not do things, to put things on your body, and to put things in your body. The power to force you to listen to things, the power to force you to watch things that they tell you to do. That is power, unlike anything this world has ever seen. No government in history has ever had this much power so quickly. Just all of a sudden, they can make anybody do anything that they want, and including in New Zealand's case, you don't even have the right to protest it.
Yeah.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So I wanted to tell my story about, you know, what I went through. But you've got other questions, don't you?
Go ahead. We have more questions, just watching the time as well. What does Vinny think of the importance of Philocyne? Philocybin.
I don't know what it is, so unfortunately I'm going to have to pass on that one. But, you know, that's because I'm a Philistine.
The Philistine, okay. Philistine, could be. Okay, Tash has a question. Tash is from New Zealand, but she's living in Ireland. And Tash said, "I was going to ask, is there any positive woke folk working together in New Zealand to change shit up?"
The terrible thing is that they hijack the word woke to now mean somebody who's pretending to be asleep. All right, now, I'm woke, I'm so woke. It's just like, you're going to get disillusioned at some point when you've got a Nazi jackboot on your neck, but okay, I'm not going to deal with that. Now, are there good woke people working in New Zealand? There's Billy TK, who I got arrested with and I'm not able to contact with, otherwise I'll go to jail for up to a year and get a $2,000 fine. There is Sue Gray, who says she trusts the system, and keeps going into court and then keeps getting all of her court cases and everything rejected, and large amounts of people are following her and donating her large amounts of money for these court cases. And there is Voices for Freedom, who have little meetings and things like that, where they talk about how they want to do friendship, and how they don't want to talk about conspiracy theories. That's the other freedom movement. There is Counterspin Media, who refuse to talk to me, acknowledge me, or anything like that. There is various Maori sovereignty movements that are all attacking each other and accusing each other of this, that, and the other. Various environmental movements that have already been hijacked by communists and are now forcing the conspiracy theorists out. There's a lot of people on social media that are coming up with their pages and things of that nature that are starting these vaccination report groups and things of that nature, which are being censored very, very quickly. So, to answer your question, yes, there are other people that are fighting in this country. Are they fighting against tyranny, or are they fighting with each other?
The second one, but it sounds good.
Yeah. Well, the divide and conquer has worked for years, so, you know, why change a system that works for the cabal, you know?
I've been doing this for 13 years, and I felt like a voice in the wilderness. Now, I know all of these people. I've helped all of these people. Not one of them will give me a single word of support.
Well, and this
after I got arrested for standing up for their freedoms and their rights, and it makes me feel very, very cold and alone out here, that the closest support bases that I have are in the United States and Ireland and England and Canada, that kind of thing. These people have come out to support me massively. My home country, the place where I am, the place that I've been trying to serve this whole time, I feel like a stranger here.
Mm. I know it's very hard. And as I say, I did mention at the start of the show about how many people have actually asked you on their show. And you said about 10%. And, you know, I could say probably in the time that I've done radio, I'd say I have done about five or six interviews on other radio shows or other platforms in that time. And you think, you know, what's going on here? Surely we should be supporting each other and promoting each other.
Yeah.
You know, but it seems to be always one-sided. And that's not so much a divide and conquer. I just don't think people get it. The other thing I come across as well, Vin, is that there's a lot of people who might wake up, say they're on the spiritual side, and they go, okay, I'm a spiritual person and I want to do X, Y, and Z. And they seem to have no concept of PR or marketing, even to do a little bit of research and understand about, you know, promoting themselves and getting it out there. So I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I've been doing.
Well, that's what I did, man. It's like in this movement, people don't want your help. They don't want your advice. What they want you to do is either do it for them or hold their hand and assist them the whole time. Okay, so in activism's case, I mean, I've maybe tutored maybe half a dozen people in this country who now have their own radio shows, who are making their videos and editing stuff like that. And in some cases, I can teach somebody how to edit a video in under 90 minutes, and then they've got that skill now and they don't need me anymore. Or I can teach them how to host a radio show or set up a live stream in 90 minutes, and then they don't need me anymore, right? They're now independent. That's the way it's supposed to be. You give people the assistance that they need, and that's what I've been doing this entire time, finding all these people who don't know how to do PR, don't know how to live stream, don't know how to edit their own videos and stuff like that. Get them on the show. Get their knowledge out so that there's at least a record of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Look, I'm the same as you. I'm teaching people. I have a presentation that I do, and I teach people how to podcast, or if you want to do a live show, I will teach them for free. There's no charge at all. But like you, over the years, and you've probably had this, where people will come to you and go, Vin, I have this great idea. And you turn around and say, right, I'm going to empower you. You go ahead and do that, and I'll show you what to do. Oh, no, I can't do it. But you can do it. And you think, no, what? That's you're missing the point here. I want to empower you and teach you so you can go off and do it. The other thing I've also come across, Finn, and you might have as well, is that there could be people who are, if they won't get you on the show because they're concerned that you might take their audience, which I think is so ridiculous, because I'll have any radio show host on my show. I've always done that, and even though on OAM, the same thing. Because we're all in the same boat, we're all trying to help each other. Well, I'm trying to help people. But there are people out there who think, oh, I won't get him on my show because he might take my audience away if people like him and they go over to his show and leave my show, which is ridiculous because, you know, myself and Steve and OIM always had other radio show hosts on, and I'm happy to have other people on who do their shows. You're a radio show host. I don't have a problem with that, but obviously some people do.
Well, I consider myself more of a talk radio parasite. That's why I'm here. But yeah, I get your point.
You get the idea, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about consciousness, okay? Now, I used to be a telesalesman, okay? 6 o'clock at night, when you're trying to eat dinner, this guy you don't know calls you from a company you've never heard of, gets you to stop eating dinner and buy what he's selling. That was my profession. One out of two people who picked up that phone when I was calling would buy what I was selling, okay? The average on my floor was 1 in 16. You'd make 16 calls, you'd make one sale. I'd make two calls, make one. And that was usually because the second person didn't pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. I was damn good at my job. Now, I was good at my job for a very, very different reason, for the reason why the other guys on my floor were good at their jobs. Okay. And there's a reason why I couldn't keep doing that is because I was obscenely honest. All right. And I was fun and I was friendly and I wasn't out to try and make a buck off them. My primary concern was, can I actually save this person money on their phone bill with the product that is my job to sell? If I can't, and I know somebody else who actually does have a better deal than they currently got, I will give them that person's number instead of lying to them and trying to sell them. The other guys wouldn't. So after a while of doing this, I was the number one salesman in the company for 6 months. Nobody could touch my numbers. And that's because I was able to establish trust very, very quickly, not through manipulation, but through honesty. Okay, and totally. Pure intent. All yeah. Right. Now people, it resonates essentially. Now, what was problematic is that I saw the temptation to lie to people, to manipulate them, to make extra money and stuff like that. I thought that I could do that if I wanted to, but I didn't want to. And I saw other people doing it around me, and I didn't want to be around them anymore because I was afraid that they might start to influence me as well. So I stopped doing that. And when I got into talk radio and stuff like that, I realized that the exact same person I was when I quit doing telesales was still the exact same person I am. All right. Mm. Now, granted, I was a bit honest and stuff like that beyond other people, but I'm not the only one who came to this profession of telling the truth from my way of doing things. Other people used to be dishonest. Other people used to be cult indoctrinated. Other people used to be mean and vicious and selfish and egotistical and money grubbing. And they think that just because they're not doing that job anymore, they think that just because they're doing this now, that they're not that same person anymore. A gross miscalculation. Until we look, and I had to look very hard at my cowardice, my weakness, my laziness, my stupidity, my ego, my selfishness, my propensity for self-aggrandizement. Until I looked at that, and this was maybe like 6-7 years into doing my show. I've been doing it 13 years. It was only that far into it that I actually started to realize that I was still a bad person from all the life that I'd lived. Even though I was trying to do the right thing, I was still a bad person because I hadn't looked into the darkness within myself and dealt with it. Now you know why there are so many people in this truth movement who don't appear to care about truth, about justice, or freedom, or honesty, or loyalty, or friendship, or faith, because they are still the same slave that they have always been.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Listen, we have another question in from John, just to clarify what she asked there, the second question there, Barry.
Barry's yeah, it was to there. Understand the second question from earlier. It turns out she was asking about psilocybin, which is a naturally occurring psychedelic compound.
Shrooms, Bert.
Yeah, shrooms.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness for shrooms, bro. It was actually the start of my love affair with the four letter word that rhymes with hunt. I thought it was so colourful and so beautiful and so wonderful a word, and it's got so many uses in so many different situations. I fell in love with it. Thank you, shrooms. Thank you. but that and many and many other things, including needing to go to the bathroom for several days. But yeah, I do highly recommend it. I don't recommend that people take drugs unless it's recreational. Okay, but when you are doing this thing, okay, and it's like my brother told me, don't do it without a purpose. Okay, if you're going in there, somebody says, hey, you want some shrooms, man? You're like, oh my God, yeah, bro. No. Just think to yourself, what is the purpose that I'm doing this? Am I going to take this trip and relieve myself of my spiritual baggage? Am I going to take this trip and look at myself without lying to myself and be honest about who I really am? Am I going to take this trip and think about what my life actually means, and do I really want to continue doing what I'm doing for a living? Then you take the trip.
Yeah, it sounds then like you have to have a clear goal.
Then you can benefit from it. Now, it's also very dangerous when you're doing it, particularly if you're doing it by yourself or if you're doing it in an unsafe environment or with people who you're unfamiliar with. And here's why. I was in an environment with a bunch of people I was unfamiliar with, taking a trip, and all of a sudden I felt the loss of all emotion. I didn't feel fear. I didn't feel love. I didn't feel curiosity. I felt nothing. And I started to panic, and I turned to my wife and go, baby, I felt nothing. I feel no joy. I feel no remorse. I feel nothing. And she goes, oh, that's okay, baby. You're just having a bad trip. And I went, oh, I am having a bad trip. Oh, thanks, baby. It's just all good now. Whew. Mm. This is why you've got to, this is why you're going to have people that you trust who are good around you and good to go on a road trip on, so to speak.
And who know what's going on. So tell us, what's the future for you, Vinny? What's happening at the moment? Give us an update. Obviously, I know your YouTube channel has gone down. So what's your plan for the future?
I might be going to jail for 6 months or more, maybe 15 months if they try to pitch all my things together for expressing an unpopular opinion, peacefully gathering, and refusing to answer questions when I was in custody. That's ostensibly what I'm charged with. So I've got a one-year-old daughter. I've got a wife that has nobody in her bubble. I don't have the ability to work and earn an income in any conventional sense because of my complex post-traumatic stress. I can't do things that I don't morally support. I just can't. My body starts shaking and violently and that kind of thing, and I can't do it. So this is a really tough time for me. This has probably been the worst time in my life. And a couple of weeks before I got arrested, I said to myself, you know, I don't want to have complex post-traumatic stress anymore. I don't want to stress out whenever I see cops and go into immediate fight or flight mode. I want this to stop. I want to change. I want to evolve. And, you know, I said to myself, well, you've got to go through it again, Vinny. You know, you've got to go through the thing that traumatized you. You've got to get arrested. You've got to be held in the cells. You've got to go through the court process and all of that kind of stuff in order to deal with this trauma again. Because now you've got another chance to do it. And I did, and it was 10 times worse than last time. 10 times worse.
Yeah.
You know, I never saw it as bad as it could be. And I was only in jail for freaking 28 hours. And on lockdown, what would you call lockdown plus, even worse than home detention, banned from the internet, banned from accessing your own computers and stuff like that for 6 freaking weeks. This is massive, massive trauma that I went through. And, you know, when we were planning that protest, I said to Billy, you know, he asked me, Vinny, do you think we're going to get arrested when we do this? I go, yeah. I go, well, why are we doing it then? I go, well, because there's an old saying, Billy. How do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it. Mm. We've been sitting on this island for a long time, trying to direct people towards the island of freedom, the island of our sovereign flag, the Declaration of Independence, Hefaka Putanga, the sovereign chiefs, the titles, the protectorate that we're trying to reinstate, one that still legally exists in this country, one that is not dead yet. That's what we were trying to do. We were trying to free this country. We're trying to free its people and try to change the jurisdiction back to what it was and what it still technically is. And because we didn't capitulate, and because people didn't believe us, we had basically one choice. Mm. The waters around this island were infested with sharks, and there was an island of freedom just out there, and people wanted to try and swim to it. And we were telling them, look, you can't just swim to that island. There's sharks in the waters. And they're like, the water looks calm to me. It looks fine. We're like, no. And they wouldn't believe us. So we did the only thing we could. We cut ourselves down to the bone, and we waded into those dark waters. And when the sharks tore us apart, everybody knew then what lurked beneath the surface in this beautiful country, all right? This is a dark time for us in this nation. This is a dark time for everybody. And this is a time where everybody needs to be creating light, whether that be making light of the situation with a bit of laughter or something, or making something beautiful, anything that chases this darkness away. That's what people need to be doing right now. I remember somebody told me, asked me once, you know, Vinny, give it to us straight. Is the world flat or is it round? And I go, well, it's actually a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. And they were like, whoa, you know, kind of like it's the structure of the universe and how we fit into it and what the frickin' purpose of our existence is. You know, it's complex, but it's not complicated. So, you know, how's a hologram work? Let's say I take a picture of you and then I try to delete it off a hologram. Whole picture's still there, just half the resolution. Try to delete it again, whole picture's still there, just fuzzier. You see, that's what memory's like. That's the memory of the entire universe. That's your memory as well. You've had a bad memory that no matter how many times you drink, no matter how many times you smoke, no matter how many times you work out or how many women you shag, that bad memory doesn't go away. It's still there and can come back into full frame as soon as somebody gives you the appropriate trigger or reminds you about it. Okay? Mm-hmm. The universe is like that. Everything we do is remembered. It's just sometimes not remembered quite so clearly. So this is the first structure of the universe. The second one when it comes into it is what's called a fractal. This guy invented this granite crystal microscope, got 60,000 times magnification. Normally we can see a cell at 10,000 times mag. This guy was able to look inside that cell. It was made up of all of these other ones. He looked inside one of those. It was made up of all of these other ones. He looked inside one of those. It was made up of all these other ones. He looked inside one of those. Made up of all these other ones. He clicked. Life is infinite, okay? Infinite down the scale, infinite up the scale. Just like a cell in my body, I've got 5 trillion on them. According to them, I'm a god. You know, they live inside me. I determine their universe. But they've got cells inside them. To them are a god. What if the earth is a cell? What if I'm a cell on the earth and the earth is a cell in the galaxy? The galaxy, a cell in the universe, a cell in a much larger macro organism that we don't even have a word yet. All right. Now, so it's a holographic fractal reality. Everything exists in terms of life and scale, and nothing can be forgotten that exists, right? Now, this is where the collective consciousness part comes into it. These guys did this thing called the double slit experiment, where they had these two metal slots open and a proton gun. Now, they figured with the aluminium foil behind it, they're just going to figure out how protons exploded when they hit it, okay? Bang, bang! That's what they thought was going to happen. So they set up the experiment, and they fired the gun. Bang! When the proton went through the slot, it ceased to be a solid object, and it turned into a wave form. and that left an impression on the aluminium foil behind it. And the doctors were like, whoa, that's weird. What the hell happened there? So they put this little camera in right by the slot to see what happens as the proton goes through. Bang, bang, hit the backboard straight like they thought it was going to. And the only thing they changed was they were observing it this time. That means that proton reacted like it got stage fright, okay? Because matter has consciousness. There was this Japanese guy, and he wrote a word, love, on a bottle, and then froze the ice crystals, then had a look at the ice crystals under the microscope. These beautiful geometric patterns. Then he did a bottle with the word hate, froze them, had a look under the microscope. It looked like the ugliest little particles of ice you've ever seen in your life. Dark.
That's
not bright and geometric.
I'll have to jump in there, Vin, because we're reaching that time now. But yeah, no, I talked about that experiment actually about doing it with water. Love, hate on the bottles. But listen, we've reached that time and it's been fantastic having you on. I hope that, you know, when you do go to court, this is just all thrown out and it's all sorted.
I'm just about finished, by the way. I've got about 60 seconds left and it's a go, but it's too much, is it?
No, you go ahead. Give out your links. Give out your links so people know where to find you.
TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. All right. All matter has consciousness. That means your consciousness affects everything. You're a fifth dimensional creative entity. First dimension's a dot. Second dimension's a line. Third dimension's a box. Fourth dimension's that box moving through time. All your fifth dimensional thoughts don't really exist. That's what you're thinking right now. All the stuff that you've never built, all the stuff that you've never said, that doesn't exist. Your job as a creative entity is to pull that stuff out. Spend your fourth dimensional time willing it into the three dimensional universe. Only there can it inspire the thoughts and creative thoughts of others. Okay, that is your obligation here on this planet. Your job is, as the Greeks said, to plant a tree whose shade you know you shall never get to sit beneath.
Brilliant stuff. Vinny, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Just stay with us there for a minute. We're just going to go off to a musical break. We'll be back after this. Quit trying to take me to task, cause I don't wanna wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is beat us live to lie. That's why I will not comply. Since back last March, I've had an achy, breaky heart like old Billy Ray Cyrus. Catching a case of the blues from the news around this damn coronavirus. Now they're telling us we gotta keep our chin divers up, even if we got the shot in the arm. Nobody's talking about exercise or eating food that's fresh grown from the farm. That's why I will not comply. Quit trying to take me to task. I don't want to wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lie after lie. That's why I will.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go. That was our guest, Vinnie Eastwood, who's obviously was arrested there, and he was locked up for 28 hours, and he's potentially, he's 6 months for one, 6 months for holding a protest, 6 months for attending a protest, and 3 months for not giving out the information. So the whole idea of you have the right to remain silent didn't seem to actually work down in New Zealand. That song that was I just played is a song by a guy called Blind Joe, and the song was called I Will Not Comply. So thanks to Mark for sending that over to me. You can go on YouTube. Steve has just put the link in there on the chat room, and you can go over there and have a listen to it again. And it's all about wearing the mask and the vaccines and stuff like that. So I thought it was a good song to play. Well, Barry, what do you think of the show and the interview and Vinny and everything else?
Interesting, to say the least. You know, Vinny seems to be a pretty stand-up guy. It's just, I knew of all the troubles that New Zealand and Australia are going through, but to get first-hand information like that and to say that he was actually locked up for it as well, it's ridiculous. Like, people say, oh, the world has gone mad. No. It's not. To them, it's not madness. It's just what they're trying to do to coerce everyone to fall in line for them. It's madness. Absolute madness.
So, obviously, we're in Ireland, and what are you seeing from your point of view with your friends? You've got your friends. Are they vaxxed, unvaxxed? What are their thoughts on it?
One is vaxxed. I know, because all the lads are always taking the piss out of them for doing it, but everyone else isn't. And
are they aware of what's going on?
Yeah, they're pretty much aware. They're not going to fall in line with this. They're not complying with it because they it's that kind of thing that it's like, well, we're telling you to do this. Well, my group of friends is like, yeah, but why are you telling us to do this? Should it not be an informed decision? No, we're telling you to do this. Right, okay, we're definitely not doing it. Something is very fishy.
So they're questioning the narrative from the government rather than just falling in line.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And what's their trigger? Why are they, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't do that, so fair play to them for doing that. Why are they doing it? What's their trigger to question?
Just in general. Especially my age group, they've always, they tried to indoctrinate our age group years ago, you know, lead the revolution, Che Guevara is great, and, you know, communism isn't bad, Hitler is the real baddie, and all this kind of stuff. And eventually we just, you know, you come out of school, you're learning the history of other countries, but not your own. We try delve into it. That was it, really. It was just, no, we're not going to comply because we do not believe you. We do not hold that. We know there's something sketchy.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to what I said. Look, you're not over 50. I am, but you're not. Mm. But fair play to your generation that are asking the question because, as I said, politicians and governments, they don't care about you.
No.
They never have cared about you, and they never will care about you because it's not in their interest to care about you. They have to do enough so we don't shoot them, basically.
Pretty much.
That would be funny when I say that, but you know, a tongue in cheek. But they just do enough to comply so we don't kind of pull them out and put them in a stockade, you know?
Return and open arms.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So they do enough to do that. When they can take their head out of the trough and see what's going on. And it's good that your generation is opening up to that. So the chap who got vaccinated, is he sorry he did it? I mean, were your other friends saying to him, do you know what's in that thing?
No, so I think it was more a work thing that, you know, you have to comply or you can't work. That's it. So, you know.
So he was forced to coerce into.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Whereas some of the other guys and myself in particular, we're not in that position. We're not you know, being coerced into it. I mean, they God knows what was said to him. You know, he's got a family. Mm. So they could easily just, well, if you don't get it, you can't work. And if you can't work, you can't provide for your family. It could have been something simple as that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people just kind of think, oh, geez, I better do something more. You know, family is first. So if I want to provide for my family, I'm going to have to do this. Mm. Whereas some of us, we don't have that to a certain extent. We have family, but not our own.
You're not under the pressure to do that together.
So there's that. And maybe we have more time on our hands to actually investigate and look into things and just to be sure.
So your mates are pretty open-minded with what's going on.
You
talk to each other and you swap information.
I'm in a group chat with them and we're always kind of
swapping information
is freely just being swapped around and say, oh, check this out, it's interesting, have a look at this. And you know, it's pretty good. I mean, there's been many things that we've looked at that have been like, oh jeez, that's unreal. You know, we've been in groups where we've been called conspiracy theorists and all that. We've been through it all. We don't care.
It's just funny that so many people, it's a very throw-off statement for people who are ignorant to say that, because they're repeaters. They hear it on the TV. The same with the anti-vax thing. It's the same thing.
It's,
you know,
just
let's just insult somebody because I can't be asked to do the research and I'll just repeat what they said on the TV. You know,
it's a way to weaponize language and just to
demonize
shut them
people
down.
Yeah,
and just to throw them out. I mean, there's been, I've seen a pretty good meme actually there last week. I was in knots laughing through it. It was a picture of Jesus and a picture of Thor, and on one side it says, Jesus said he would remove the world of sin. Mm. And on the picture of Thor, it said, Thor said he would remove the frost giants. Mm. The next scene is, the world is still full of sin, but I've never seen a frost giant.
Mm. Yeah.
Where's it going? That kind of thing. It's funny though. It's kind of, it's great to be able to have a bit of humor and but also be serious at the same time. That it's like, well, governments are promising this, that, and the other. They're saying it's going to take A, B, and C to get to X, Y, and Z. It's not happening. It's not happening at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're 2 years into this plandemic or whatever you want to call it, scandemic or whatever it is. And the results are going to be the same. I mean, there's right now, we'll reopen in a few weeks. That time comes. Nope, it's going to have to be pushed back. Now it's this opening. Nope, it's pushed back again. It's just going to continue doing it. I mean, how long is it going to take for the entire population to say, I'm yours, you know?
Well, it's gone. That's part of the awakening process, and that's what has to happen. There has to be the tipping point, and we get to the stage where the people who are still asleep wake up and go, hang on a minute, this is too far. Now, they are going after the kids, and I think that was the catalyst for a lot of people saying, look, and a lot of women that I know who have kids said, they were saying, look, one thing going after me, but now you're upsetting Mammy Bear, and Mammy Bear doesn't like this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. We draw the line there. You're not going after the kids. You're not getting the kids, which is fair play.
Indoctrinate the kids. That's how you get it for the future. Yeah. I mean, I think it was, I think Putin said it when he was in the KGB that it takes at least 20 years to completely demoralize a country.
Yeah. Well, I do feel there's an awful lot going on with the White Hats as well. Let's just call them the White Hats. It just makes life easier.
Yeah.
There is a lot of positives going on. And I know they can still control the media and they're still pushing out what they think is their agenda and what's going on. But I do believe there's a lot of good work going on in the background. But certain processes, certain things have to be put in place. Mm-hmm. And so it does not case of, don't get focused on dates and stuff like that. But there's a lot of stuff going on. And they might, in Ireland, they might decide to do a lockdown over Christmas because they're megalomaniacs, these people.
It
they
sure
really
seems
are.
That way.
You know, they love the power, they love the control, they look what we can do to the people, you
dance
know?
Puppets, dance.
Dance puppets, know? Exactly, yeah. And these people, Stephen Donnelly and Leo and Micheál Martin, they're just puppets for the elites. They're just given the script and told what to do,
for
you know?
Sure, yeah.
You know, and but it's just funny that they take your freedoms away and tax you more, and they're wondering why people are upset. Why is the protest outside the politician's house Oh, maybe because you're doing something that people don't like.
Yeah.
Did you think of that one?
Maybe you're really taking the piss.
Yeah.
And they're just not going to stand for it anymore. You know, it's, which in fairness for government, it should be, that should be the rule of law for them. I mean, you keep the fire under their feet, keep them on their toes, make sure that they're doing the job, but they're not. These guys are just coming in, they're dictating what's happening, and then, why are you upset? We're telling you what to do.
Well, the thing is, we'll keep everything positive. I think there's going to be change coming down the line, and there's a lot of good positives there. Barry, thanks a lot for coming down and joining me in the studio and being a co-host.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed it. Next week on the show, folks, we're going to have Harry Rhodes. You know, I mentioned about the vape kit and the benefits of the vape kit, especially with COVID and the issue of being able to use the vape kit to bring up the actual mucus and phlegm, because the last thing you want is not to be able to breathe. And I had a family member who went through that, and they used a vape to do that. And this is not about PR and marketing for the vape kit for Harry. I'm just telling you what is. I'm telling you what happened and the benefit of it. So Harry's going to come on next week. He said he has a load of information and tech that he's going to be talking about. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be interesting. So thanks to Barry for joining me. Thanks to Vinny for coming on the show. Thanks to everybody in the chat room for coming on and putting in your comments and talking to each other and having great energy in the chat room. That's much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll see you next week.
And thanks very much for having me on again, Alan. It's been quite an experience.
Brilliant. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yep.
So thanks a lot, everybody, and take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking differently.